Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9 o'clock hour, TJ Lang in studio. A lot of ground to cover with TJ. Lions offense humming against a really good defense. Yeah. They had 2 weeks to prepare. Lions defense, surprisingly stout. Only gave up two touchdowns, one in the second half, four sacks. A little blitzing goes a long way.
Any mad politicians out there or ex-politicians?
Chris Christie's comment? We'll see if we can get that for you.
You know what I find unprofessional? Wearing your pants up to your armpits. How I wasn't even planning on talking about that. Good Lord, that guy. Come on.
Listen, we had a lot of fun with it on Friday.
Oh, such a visual. Sure. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Not a flattering look. We'll get the fake punt in. I want your thoughts on that. Pass rush, we need an update from you and Max Crosby. Was there a dinner over the weekend? And if we have time, we could talk a little Wolverines and a little Aaron Rodgers. But let's start Lions, and what'd you take out of that game?
First off, obviously we all have rooting interests, but... Even if you were just watching that, like, that was just such a really good football game. You know what I mean? Between really two really good teams, two really well-coached teams, four, I think, of the top coordinators in this league with both your guys and O'Connell and with Brian Flores. And I thought it was a gutty performance. You know, I had the feeling, you know, a couple series in, I think we – you're kind of looking at each other like, oh, boy, it's not going to be one of these days, is it? Yeah. You know, like we had in Baltimore last year where everything went wrong. And then just to watch that team just rebound and just not give up and just come back and say, all right, we took your punch. You know, we know you're coming off a bye. You're probably a little fresher than we are. Now we're going to start rolling, right? And then they answered and answered in a big way and played complimentary football. And I think the biggest part for me was – the way you finished that game, you needed all three phases, starting with a Jack Fox punt. That was a booming punt to knock Minnesota back to about their 20-yard line. You needed your defense. You had to have it. We had to get a stop. They go out there, find a way to get a three and out, and then offense clearly got to have a drive, right? This is it. We got one last chance. You get down there, and then you cap it off with special teams again. So just the way that all three phases performed, you know, with the last 5 minutes of that game, that's a sign of a really damn good football team, man. And they look like they're having fun too. You know what I mean? Like they don't. I know coach said they don't bat an eye. They really don't. They don't flinch. The defense goes out and has a couple rough series. Offense, like, hey, don't worry, we got your back. Offense, we start with three, you know, bad drives. Defense, like, okay, we're gonna hang in there, man. We're gonna keep punching. We're gonna keep battling. We know you guys are gonna get rolling here pretty soon. So it's such a fun team to watch. And I thought it was a fitting end, you know, with Nowoski getting the sack after much was made about the pass rush all week. And look, I mean, you know, was it as good as it has been with Hutch? Probably not, but I thought there were some areas that were improved, you know, sometimes where they were pressuring or guys getting pressure up the middle. DJ Reader had a couple nice rushes. Aleem had a couple nice rushes. I thought Houston probably didn't show up on the stat sheet, but had a couple moments where he was getting pressure and forcing Sam Darnold to kind of get outside the pocket and take his eyes off of maybe the guys he wanted to throw to. So I just thought it was a gutty win. I thought it was really impressive, and I thought it was a really damn good football team between two of probably the best teams in the league.
How repeatable is it? Now, obviously, no one's going to be, you know, stressing about the Titans, but in 2 weeks they got Green Bay. How repeatable is it with not as much pass rush as they had with Aiden Hutchinson moving forward?
Well, I think that Aaron Glenn is going to have to continue to be very – have multiple schemes. You know what I mean? I think he's got to adapt to each opponent that you're going to play. Green Bay and Minnesota are not the same offense. You know, Green Bay has probably a better passing attack, more guys that they can get involved. It's just different, right? Different style of quarterback. So I think you're going to have to come up with different plans for each team. But – that was one thing we talked about last week is what's the defense going to look like? I mean, they've pretty much been lining up rush four, press man coverage. Okay, you lose one of the best pass rushers in the world. You know, are we going to do that? Are we going to change things up? I thought there were some wrinkles in there where lining up odd fronts and under fronts and jam fronts and, you know, stuff that you really haven't shown on film throughout the first 5 weeks that were to your advantage. I think you were able to generate some pressure that way. And that's kind of how Minnesota does it, too. I think Decker got beat once in that game around the edge. Mm-hmm. Goff didn't really have room to step up. But other than that, it seemed like all the pressures were, you know, hey, man, they're stunting, they're blitzing, they're twisting, they're doing all this stuff. And it's just hard to communicate that way. So I think if your defense can kind of take some of that and help your guys, you know, come around free, get some free edge rushers, get some free guys up the middle, it's going to continue to create opportunities to make big plays.
To your point about Glenn, they blitzed the second most of any game he's coached here in Detroit, 57% of the time. 20 of the 35 dropbacks. So this was clearly something he said, hey, I got to find a way to manufacture pressure. Early in the game, those blitzes weren't getting home. Late in the game, they did. When they didn't blitz, here's the stat that's going to be concerning for Lions fans. When they didn't blitz, edge rushers generated pressure on just 3 of 27 rushes for the game. That's not good enough. On islands, when you don't blitz, those guys aren't winning.
Yeah.
So what does that say about their need to do something in the next couple weeks here?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I was thinking about that driving in, but you came out and you won the game yesterday. That's obviously the first goal.
Yeah.
Defense played good enough, right? You really let up.
Of course.
22 points? I mean, yeah, their defense scored, so low 20s. So you can live with that, right? You can say, okay, we can live with this as long as we keep them out of the end zone and we keep getting stops in the red zone. That's our style of defense. But I honestly, the urgency to go get somebody, right? Is it higher or lower than where we were sitting on Friday? Like, that's the question.
Right.
I think you can make the argument for both. You could say, well, we didn't have Aiden Hutchinson and we just beat what was, you know, an undefeated team, one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you can also say, we're this good, you know, is this sustainable to keep doing what we're doing? I think it is against certain teams. But I think that the bigger picture is you look at this and you say, man, we have a damn good football team.
Yeah.
Like, if we could go add one more piece, you know what I mean? Like, that's, I think there's something to be said about, okay, maybe I really do think this is our year, right? And I'm not trying to overreact off of one game, but just the way that the rest of your team looks, you want to do everything you can to help those guys, because after a big win like that, you come out and say, okay, man, like, we might need to we might need to go get something.
Well, right? Because there's only really one deficiency in what the Lions have as a roster. Because you look offensively, Tim Patrick has filled and answered every question about who you want as your 3 or 4 receiver. Tight end, you're set. Offensive line, you could talk about or have a discussion about depth and maybe adding a backup offensive lineman, and that's way down the road or down the line. The one deficiency, and I asked Jim this question earlier, is there a perfect roster in the NFL at this point, 7 weeks into the season?
No.
Because guys are going to get hurt. I mean, look at Kansas City. They're the only undefeated team left, yet they have no premier receiver. And so, yeah, I think Kansas City is looking between now and the trade deadline, 2 weeks, to add a receiver. The Lions certainly should be kicking the tires on, and maybe it, watching what they did against Minnesota, maybe it takes the top guys off of the list because they don't want to spend the draft capital that it would take to get them.
Yeah.
But a Za'Darius Smith, or I know, you know, last week you mentioned Ojulari with the Giants. There's a Landry with the Titans.
Yeah, you're playing this week. Yeah.
You know, there are some guys that you could add that would add production, would add another weapon, another tool for Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with everything you said. And the one thing I think about this team is you might be one of the most complete teams in the NFL. Across
Hutch.
The board. Right,
yeah.
Even without Hutch. But I think there's other teams where if they lose their star player, are clearly not. If Minnesota loses Justin Jefferson,
they're done.
They're done, right? And other teams, you know, Kansas City, if they lose Chris Jones,
huge, yeah,
probably done, right? I know Patrick Mahomes is good enough to probably win you some games, but that team doesn't look the same.
Well, they're winning defense, so it'd be a huge deal.
That's why I think this Lions roster, especially after what we saw yesterday, how complete it feels. You're so close. Do you really want to risk saying, okay, we need to make a move because we're going to continue to put all of it on these other guys? Or do we want to go and just say, you know what? We feel like we are the most complete roster in this team. We know we're hurting at defensive end. We know we're hurting at pass rush a little bit. Let's just go do this thing. You know what I mean? Let's go get it done. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, obviously, I think they wanted to see exactly what they had yesterday before they made any rash decisions. But it'll be interesting to see if there's anything that comes out this week about, maybe we do need to go get something.
It was a good test because Minnesota has a good offensive line. I'm not going to call them great, but they're good.
Good tackles, And they had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. Minnesota did, and it's at their place. And you find out what you're made of, like, you know, in the chest. Like, do you have that fight? And this team clearly showed they had the fight. I think they knew that, but it's obvious after yesterday. The fight's there. Also obvious they don't have enough on the edges right now. So both things can be true, right? Both things can be true. You love the fight, the resilience, the makeup of this locker room, but you also want to your point, do right by the guys in the locker room and give them every chance to win a championship.
Yeah, I would say you don't have enough on the edges right now if you just want to play four-man rush, man defense.
You know what I mean? You need to. You can't blitz every play.
But that's what I'm saying. Unless they want to go the other path to say, you know what, we're going to turn into some exotic-looking team on third down, like what we saw at Minnesota. You don't know who's blitzing, if it's max pressure, max coverage. Right, you know what I mean? So I think it just depends on what their philosophy wants to be moving forward.
And I'll say, if they do blitz more, you got to lean on safeties. They got two good ones. Yeah. Corners, they're getting better.
And you can more this year.
The roster does set up more for that.
Your corners set up better. Your secondary. Mm-hmm. I think Amik Robertson in the slot has been a really good player for them. So, and at heart, I think Aaron Glenn wants to be, you know, a four-man rush type man-to-man coverage type of defense. So it'll depend on what their philosophy wants to be moving forward.
248-539-9797. We can get some phone calls in the mix on this. Talk about the Lions offense, the defense. And I think TJ raised a really good question about the pass rush. Do you feel like they need to make a move more after that game or less after that game? Before the hour ends, I want to play some Aaron Rodgers audio. That's your guy, TJ. Find out who he's blaming after another loss.
Oh boy. I meant to stay up to hear the press conference. I did not. I fell asleep. So
don't worry.
I'm excited.
We've got it for you.
I have not. I will wait until you guys play it for me.
End of the hour. It's 97.1.
Injury attorney David Feminino is an attorney I've been talking to you about for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for injured clients. One, it was $3.5 million. Another, $5 million. And a third, $11.5 million. This is just a small sample size. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your level of confidence before that kick, TJ?
I, you know what? I actually felt more confident because they felt confident by just taking a couple knees. So it was like,
they at first know something we don't
get like 5 or 6 more yards, maybe, but they started taking knees and I'm like, all right, man, if they're confident, then go out there and do it, kid. Don't even think about it.
Ticket Texter says Lions have to make a move. They showed how good they are, spotting Minnesota 7 points on the road. Seal it this year, especially if Hutch could be back in February. And someone says, did TJ say max pressure?
Oh, with two X's?
With two X's. Your question was a good one. After a win like that, do you feel like you need to make a trade more or less?
Yeah. Well, that's what we all wanted to know going into the game, right? What's this going to look like?
What are we
going to learn? Yeah. Are we going to have urgency or are we going to find out, oh my goodness, look, James Houston's back to form. You know, I think we'll be good, right? Those are all questions that we had.
What is your answer to that question?
I mean, I can make an argument for both, but I remember being in the position as a player on good teams that maybe you lose a guy and all you wanted, the front office to do was, man, just get us a little bit more help. We're so close. We feel like we're right there. We feel like we're, you know, one of the best teams. As part of a team 1 year that we lost 2 or 3 running backs and, you know, just go get us one guy, you know? And so I know how that feels being a player, that you feel like when you're this close and this good,
yeah
you want to complete what you have. And I think that's really, you look at the roster and clearly it seems to be the one position that needs to get addressed in my mind.
Yeah. I don't know that there's not another position where if they make a trade, you're like, oh, well that makes sense. It's just edge rusher is really should be the sole focus.
Yeah.
And because at wide receiver, even if let's just say Tim Patrick, the injuries jump up and get him again, because he's had a history of that over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You still have a guy, Allen Robinson, that is very experienced and could go in and give you, 2-3 catches a game.
Yeah.
It's so you have depth nearly everywhere except the production that you've lost by Aiden Hutchinson. And unless you go Max Crosby or you go Myles Garrett, you're not going to replace Aiden Hutchinson. You're only going to try and fill some of the void. Even if it's a Trey Hendrickson, you're still filling just some of the void.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point too, is like, what if the draft was tomorrow? What would we be saying this team needs in the first round?
Edge.
Right. You know, so
and he could speed that process up and pursue a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Like, I think there's a world where they watched that football game and said, we're the best team in the NFC, as is,
without
Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. We went into Minnesota, won the game. We're the better team. We can beat them again. We can beat anybody in the NFC in a playoff game. We are every bit in the Super Bowl with the roster currently constructed. What I would say is give yourself a better chance to win.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it so the offense has to be dominant. Early in the year, they won a couple games with their defense. I'd love to go in the playoffs knowing they did everything they could to position this team to win a Super Bowl. Because if you play Mahomes, you don't want to say we got to blitz them 60% of the time or we can't win. I'd hate going in with only one way to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you're right. I think it'll alleviate some pressure from some other areas.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I mean, Jared Goff isn't going to go the next 11 games completing 80% of his passes.
You don't think so?
You know, well, I'm just saying, like, it's not.
It's ridiculous, just, TJ. He's on a ridiculous run.
Completion in the first half?
I'm not going to hold him to that standard for the rest of the season. And he's going to have a game where, you know, the other team just has a good plan and you got to figure out, you got to go win a dogfight, you know, maybe 20-17 type of game, right? But you're right. If you help that defense out a little bit more, you do bring in a little bit of help. That will alleviate the pressure to say, okay, we don't need you guys to be perfect to go win these games, right? And Jared Goff has been phenomenal. I mean, he has been so, so good. He has been one of the, I think, the best quarterback in the NFL over the past 3 or 4 game stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an overstatement. I don't think that's breaking news. I think most of us feel that way.
We threw out 3 letters.
At this point of the season?
MVP.
I think so, too.
Who has the better case? Nobody. He's on arguably the best team. The only team that you would say is better is Kansas City, but Mahomes isn't playing. They're not winning because he's been Mahomes. They're winning because their defense.
I think 6 or 7 interceptions.
More picks than touchdowns, I think. Yeah, I mean, he's
throwing more picks to nose guards than Jared Goff has thrown all season.
Yeah, and
he's still a phenomenal player, right? But the way that Jared Goff is playing, I thought about that last night, too. I'm like, this guy has legit MVP candidate type of play right now.
Because it's egoless, selfless football. He doesn't care if he throws the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage to Gibbs or Montgomery, or if he's going deep to J-Mo. Like, he's going to take what the defense is giving him. And yeah. But he's also made very accurate throws in tight windows where you see J-Mo, or it's Tim Patrick, or it's Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond. When you've got to make a throw that only your guy can get, he's been accurate on those as well.
Yeah, and he's not trying to – the one Tampa game, he was trying to force the ball clearly to Amon-Ra St. Brown,
yeah.
Right? I think that he realized, and I think the offensive realized that, dude, like, we have so many other weapons. If it turns out to be a game like where Amon-Ra maybe gets 3 catches, so be it. We got other guys that can pick up a slack. Yesterday, Jameson Williams, I mean, the one catch that was kind of the behind, you know, 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Okay, we're going to have games where maybe the deep shot to him aren't available. Mm-hmm. You know, we got other guys we got to target. Khalif Raymond, I mean, he came up huge on that one drive with two catches on big third downs, and then the touchdown on the third down was massive. And I think Jared Goff is starting to play that way, where he knows he doesn't have to force the ball to one guy or two guys. I think he knows that with the weapons, with the system that they run, with the matchups that they can get formationally, that he all he's got to do is just get the ball to his playmakers and let them
make plays.
Yeah.
Ticket Texture says that was the perfect type of football game, one where you win, but also where it's clear you still need to address the D-line. You didn't want to have that revelation in a loss. You wanted to have that revelation in a win. I think that's really well said. TJ, we talked about the fake punt, and it would have been such a bigger story if they lost the game. It's hardly come up today.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was odd. I did.
I didn't love it. Yeah.
If it's 4th and 1, 4th and 2, you know, maybe. I think it was a 4th and 8.
Right.
And running a speed option, you know, with a line.
You go in motion before the snap of the ball, even.
Kind of tap your hand.
I thought it was a little bit, it felt at the moment desperate. Like, okay, man, we know, you know, hey, this is a tough team. We're going to have to maximize possessions. Where in reality, you didn't. I mean, you were a better team than Minnesota. I think it was clear after the end of the game. But, I didn't.
To me, it showed some
doubt.
They
won the game because I really didn't want to have to ask Coach about that afterwards.
Yeah, because to me, it showed some doubt. Like, you do it against Kansas City, and I've said this all day today. You do it against Kansas City, and I think everybody going into that game thought Kansas City's a better team. You're going to have to steal a possession, or you've got to do something outside the box. And then this year, with this team, the roster, the way the offense is operating, I just felt like it was an unnecessary risk.
Yeah.
To me, it was a bad decision. I'm not going to call it reckless. I just thought it was a bad decision.
I did too. Yeah, I didn't like it.
I don't think he's wrong, though, right, to think that that type of game they may have to steal a possession
when
your defense is undermanned. My issue
was early at that position.
Well, and the play itself. Like, you guys tell me, you guys have been in install meetings. Like, typically a fake punt, you're looking for a matchup, a key, something pre-snap.
Yeah, the look has to be perfect.
Yeah.
What was the look that gave them the green light to do that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if Coach will, you know, maybe talk about that this week, because you're right. It seemed like as soon as the ball was snapped,
they were all over.
Minnesota knew exactly what was happening.
It's usually a number count. Or it's two guys outside the tackle, or it's three guys, and whatever the number count that you feel like you have an advantage, that's when it triggers the call, and it's in the moment. I'm actually curious if that one wasn't called by FIP. They've given the special teams the ability to do that.
Yeah.
If there was just, hey, they missed the guy in the number count, and it was just a bad call on the field.
Yeah, and Coach isn't going to throw any of the guys under the bus. We know that. But I wouldn't be shocked if that was one where you say, okay, it was probably a look we should have killed it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to throw my guys under the bus, but probably not the look we wanted to run that one into. And he's probably bummed, too, that he had to waste one.
Right.
Now everybody's seen that ended up not working. But, you know, good thing they were able to overcome that. Because you're right. I think that would have been a big, big question mark if that game goes the other way.
Well, you mentioned it right away. You're down 10-0. You're on the road. You're missing Aiden. Everybody's going, oh, no, this could really snowball. But this team, a testament. They rallied. They overcame it. They were resilient. You said rebound, I think, was your word. They rebounded. Even late in the game, David Montgomery, who is as dependable a rock as this offense has, he fumbles the football. They give up a touchdown. They're losing on the road, and their rock is the guy that gives the ball up, and it didn't break him.
Yep.
Did you really? I mean, to your point, all three phases from that moment on, bucked up, stepped up, and the Lions beat the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, in the highest pressure situations. Offense, we need a two-minute drill. Defense, defense, hey, they get a first down, man. We're not getting this ball back to our offense. And for all three phases to come through in literally the highest pressure situation, you got to go make plays. Their key guys all found ways to make plays.
John, I know tomorrow we're going to mix in more Michigan. I'm sure you're dying to talk about the Wolverines.
Oh, can't wait. That's really excited about that.
While we have TJ here, get a few thoughts from him on what's going on with the Wolverines and a few thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Who's he throwing under the bus after a loss in primetime? It's your former teammate, TJ. What do you have to say about this? It's 97-1.
About 2 years ago, I made the decision to lose some weight, and I went with Ideal U. I'm so happy I did. A lot of the decisions factors that went into me making that decision were, had a newborn, wanted to make sure that with all five kids at different stages of their life, that I could play with them. I could go out and play catch. I could do drills with Jack at football, Teddy in the future with football. So I called Ideal U. I've lost 70 pounds in the last 2.5 years. And at the start of it, I lost 10 pounds in 10 days. I lost 50 pounds in the first 40. And it was all thanks to Ideal U. If you want to change your life, go to idealu.us right now and schedule your free consultation. They're going to assign you a weight loss coach. They're going to tell you what to eat and drink to lose weight. And they're going to coach you throughout the entire process. And when you reach your goal, they're going to stay with you so that you keep that weight off. Ideal U has helped thousands of people just like me and you. If you want to weigh less, go to idealu.us.
Dan Miller with another great call, some big plays by the Lions, and a big win. A big boy bleeping win, as Jared Goff put it in the locker room. TJ, can you describe the noises you're making in the background of some of these calls? Like, you're having a great time.
I know. I keep reaching for like my cough button. Because at Lomas, I mean, we're obviously allowed to be biased. You know, we're doing
home radio
for our. You can be animated.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I'm like, yeah, because I hate when people do. I hate when I watch games and I hear Tom Brady like, oh, and then I do the same thing. And I'm like, gosh darn it.
But it's different. You're not on a national broadcast. No, you're on the local broadcast. You're allowed to cheer and shout. You're welcome.
I think it's fun, and brings the emotion to some of the plays.
Sure. I can't wait to hear a Super Bowl call. Of you and Lomas and Dan Miller.
I will definitely be on mute for that one. Yeah. I will not.
Yeah, because bad words on Dan. Come out at that point.
Dan Miller's one of the best play-by-play guy, I think, in the league. And I've thought about this. There's some big play moments where I literally hit my mute button because I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm stepping on this guy's call. This is going to be played forever. You know, they're going to play it on all the highlight film. Like, I got to get out of the way and just let him do his thing. So, yeah, but it does, I do think about it. I think it's cool to get the emotion sometimes, and Lomas does, the same thing. We cheer, we root.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It makes for a lively booth.
But I hear it afterwards, and I'm like, damn it, I shouldn't have done that.
The party that you guys are having, very different than the Saturdays that John is having.
Yes. Yes.
Fair.
Yes.
And we flip-flopped. A couple years ago, man, you were, you went through, one loss in 3 years. We had to dig out of the mud. Costa, that first year, man, calling three wins. You were in the mud, dude.
Now, I saw you live tweeting.
Welcome, John.
Oh, boy. You were tweeting on Saturday through some of Michigan's football game. You got some takeaways?
I think they don't look like a well-coached team to me. And, look, I know that the quarterback position is obviously a huge, huge disappointment. And everybody's got their own beliefs about new age college football and, hey, going to get a guy. And I understand they were in, a different spot coming out of last year. But just to have really no contingency plan in place was, irresponsible for me. I did think Saturday, look, I think Tuttle played terrible. And I think I came out of that game thinking, I think I owe an apology to Davis Warren. I think he stinks too. But I think it's clear that he's the best player of the other ones. That's kind of how I felt. And look, if you complete some of those passes, and You know, just some of the plays that he was making. You literally have zero chance to win when your quarterback plays like that. Well, but they don't look to me, John, like they play as a team. You know what I mean? They look like they've got good, really good players at different places, but they just don't look like they play like a team. And that to me is, I think that's more of a statement about the coaching staff, especially when you had 2 weeks to prepare for a team like that.
I thought defensively there were some things that they did a little bit better of. They were a little more aggressive. Now, it cost them at times in terms of, you know, PI calls. But I thought, you know, Jameer Hall played a better game. I thought that their corners played a better game. But, I've said this about the defense, they have some studs. They've got some high draft picks on that defense, but it never felt like they were playing good team defense.
Yeah.
And then offensively, and I understood wanting to come out with Jack Tuttle and throw the ball down the field, but all you showed on the first play of the game was that he doesn't have the arm to get it that deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close. And it wasn't like he was under pressure. Like, it was just grossly underthrown. Yeah. And then everybody looks at that and goes, huh, well, if that's all they got at quarterback, let's just stack the box again.
Yeah. Okay, that doesn't scare us. Yeah. Right. And you know what? Maybe it's possible that things look different during the week and your coaches get a false sense of confidence that you guys can do it. But and then you show up on Saturday and it's like, man, like, he's been doing it all week in practice. What's going on now? Some guys just don't show up under the lights or in big moments. But I'm sorry to say, man, they just don't look like they're a well-coached team to me. They look like they just expect to roll out there and continue to be the Michigan of the last 3 years, and we're better than you, and they're not. And they're not playing as a team. And I think I felt like a fool picking them going into that game, because I thought what I saw from Tuttle, you know, at the end of that Washington game was like a little sliver of hope. But then, you know, after 2 weeks to prepare and he's your guy, and then to come out and look like even worse than you have all season,
mm-hmm.
Man, that was a disappointing loss.
You felt bad picking him for that game.
I did, yeah.
How about being a guy? I'm not going to name any names, but how about being a guy that thought that they could possibly make the college football playoffs?
Ooh, yeah, that
that guy must be
got to be rough.
Dumbass
this morning.
Rough take there.
Yeah.
To close the Washington game, they went punt, punt, fumble, interception. Clock runs out. You go, that's a brutal way to finish the Washington game. 2 weeks to clean it up, right? 2 weeks to throw your arms behind whoever you think the best quarterback is. Your evaluation was Tuttle's the best quarterback, and you had 2 weeks to make it work. Here's how they came out. Punt, punt, fumble, fumble, scored a touchdown, punt, miss field goal, pick, turnover on downs, clock runs out. TJ, that's 15 possessions where 14 of them are empty and 5 of them end in turnovers. You're right. They're not setting any of these quarterbacks up to be the best version of themselves. I'm not telling you they're very good.
Yeah.
But Michigan was winning games without high-level quarterback play going back to Cade McNamara. The reality is they're not doing enough to get these guys in position to be successful. That's a coaching failure. And how do you have any confidence that they're going to pick the right quarterback the rest of the way? Or they're going to be prepared this week with a big rival in town?
Yeah. No idea. No idea where you go from here. I mean, you played musical chairs. You played 3 quarterbacks through 7 games now. What do you do?
Yeah.
Apologize to Davis Warren and say, hey, we know you weren't very good either, but like, you give us our best chance. I mean, what does that say to the locker room?
Or orgy, because at least you don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's, and look, I think there's a part of reality where most people knew going into the season, you're not going to be back-to-back national champion. You can't lose 20 players, seniors and NFL
impact
guys,
the players,
and expect to do that. Now, did I expect the drop-off to be this fast and this bad? No. No, you know, be it with today's landscape in college football. And John, I know we've had arguments about, you know, Harbaugh, did he put him in a tough bind? Yeah, he probably did, leaving late. And the portal, and not knowing who your coach was going to be, and not knowing which players were going to stick around, or we got to recruit our own player. You know what I mean? Maybe there was a part that we got to worry more about getting Mason Graham and Colson Loveland and Will Johnson back on this team. Then looking outside to bring in any other pieces.
Yeah, but you can do all of it.
It just seems in today's landscape, to be able to be a powerhouse, you know, consistently, the opportunity is there. And the opportunity
it is
clearly.
And was, I was all was over Costa because I was talking about, well, okay, you didn't end the season until mid-January. Harbaugh didn't leave until the 24th. Sharon was hired the 26th. All of the top quarterbacks were already off the market. And then he came up with a couple. I don't even remember who they were.
Yeah, there were a couple of names, but are okay.
some of those names probably would have performed better than what we've seen so far. And then the question is, what do you do moving forward? You kind of asked that. Do you go back to Davis Warren because you think maybe he is the best of the three?
What about the fourth?
Well, I'm getting there. Or, you know, if it's turnovers, Alex Orsi is the only one that had one turnover. Now, he didn't throw the ball a lot,
yeah,
and you become very one-dimensional, but he was the one that protected the ball the most. Or do you go with that fourth option and you just say, you know what, Jaden Davis, it hasn't worked with either of the other three. Let's see what – let's take our lumps now with you,
yeah,
and figure out if you can be the guy going into next year.
Yeah, why not? Because I think we already know the other three guys are clearly not the answer.
Yeah.
Now or in the future. So you're right. If you're going to lose, if you're going to go out there and you know, the rest of the season, you know, have some of these games that just stink and, you know, come to the realization that we're just not that good, why not at least see what you got with a young quarterback?
Because if you're recruiting the portal, you got to think Jaden Davis might be a guy that if he's not going to get his chance here against these three guys, that maybe he wants to enter the portal. So you got to start recruiting him again now.
Tomorrow we'll mix in more Michigan with the Lions. Today's been a big Lions day. We also want TJ's reaction to Aaron Rodgers. They were up 15-6. Then they gave up 31 unanswered. Offense shut out in the second half. Aaron Rodgers pointing the blame. We'll play some audio next, 97.1.
We got some great sporting events here in Detroit. Why not watch them at the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. You can hang out next to one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. Again, that's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all of your sporting events. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, little backstory. It's a busy Lions victory Monday. If you missed any of it, Odyssey Rewind. We got TJ Lang in studio. TJ, once upon a time, a teammate of Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
What do you think of Aaron?
As what?
Oh, we'll just leave that one as open-ended.
Open-ended,
we'll let
player?
You take it wherever you want.
Quarterback person.
Aaron was always one of my good friends. I thought he was a good leader, you know, when I played with him. It was 8 years. I mean, obviously the majority of my career. Yeah, won a Super Bowl. And, yeah, certainly made my job easier, you know. Playing with a guy like that elevates everything.
Everyone.
But, yeah, I don't know. Something's changed the last maybe couple of years, I would say. I never used to see him throw guys under the bus as much. I mean, last week I thought it was – I felt a little disturbed when he threw Mike Williams under the bus.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, and that to me, watching Aaron Rodgers play that game, it kind of looked like a, I'm going to show you how much we need Devontae type of game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay, these are the receivers you want me to play with? Okay, watch this. You know, and then when they mess up, I'm going to call them out. Oh, this wouldn't happen if Devontae was here. He would do exactly what I want. You know what I mean? That's what it looked like to me.
Well, and now they have Devontae. They played last night in primetime, and they didn't score in the second half and lost by multiple touchdowns.
Yeah. He's got to be feeling the pressure because I think they made every single move that he has wanted. And there's no you'll never convince me. I'm not saying he went to Woody Johnson and said, we need to do this, but you'll never convince me that he had no idea that Robert Saleh was getting fired. It doesn't happen like that. With star quarterbacks like that, a move is not going to be made. I'm not going to say you have to sign off on it, but you're at least going to get the heads up. Right, and for him to claim that he had no idea and everybody was, you know, I talked to Woody Johnson. We were just talking about my ankle. Yeah, okay. Like, nobody believes that, you know.
So they fired a coach. They traded for his friend.
What are they going to do this week?
Who is there left to blame? Here's what Aaron said post-game. Well, first of all, he said that the media, they need to stop listening to the media. So the media is partial.
Okay, that's what he meant by you guys. Okay.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, the media is part of the blame now. The media gave up 31 unanswered last night. And if the media can buck up, the Jets will be just fine.
Yeah, I don't think they were out there in Jets uniforms last night. Couldn't have been much worse.
Or Steelers uniforms.
That's the first time I've heard that. Probably running out of excuses at this point, you know. And first it was the head coach and then the receivers. My receivers think now it's the media. I mean, they've Jets have done like a kind of a master class the last couple weeks of like deflecting the heat. Like, oh, we lost a terrible game, fire the coach. Oh, we lost a terrible game, trade for Devontae. You know, change the narrative. We got to talk about this. Like, they've done a masterclass kind of deflecting. That to me sounds like a frustrated guy that probably is starting to feel the heat a little bit, knowing that, you know, he's probably had a part in every move that they've made, calculated moves, and still losing games like that to a Steelers team that really, at least offensively, isn't that good.
Yeah.
But I think Jets have bigger problems. I mean, I don't think their offensive line is good at all. Like, they're not good at running the ball. Teams are finally starting to pick up that, hey, the ball's coming out of Aaron's hands in like a second and a half. If we don't get home, let's just get our hands up. And how many, you know, deflected passes did the Steelers have last night? Tyron Smith, to me, the left tackle, just clearly is not anywhere close to the all-pro, yeah, you know, Pro Bowl type guy that he used to be. And I think Aaron's kind of feeling that a little bit. I think, and he's not as good as he used to be when it comes, especially when it comes to moving around.
Yeah, he's taking some hits.
Yeah, taking some hits and buying time in the pocket. You know, used to be his specialty. Teams would never blitz Aaron Rodgers. You know, you don't get home and he gets out of the pocket, man, you are dead. You are dead. And teams right now just don't have that same fear. And I think Aaron might finally be coming to the realization that teams are playing him different, man. And you're going to have to find different ways. And with this offensive line that you got, is it even possible? I don't know. It's going to have to take some superhuman effort for him to probably turn their season around.
Credit to Greg on this one. You asked, well, what can they do this week? Well, this is Randall Cobb week, right? And then what about Jordy Nelson or Donald Driver?
I don't know. Maybe they bring back TJ Lang.
Oh, no.
And then offensive line.
And then when things really get south and the Yankees are out of the playoffs and, you know, the season's over and they get the true attention in New York and they're like 2-7, 2-8. Then Roger will probably just walk away and they'll bring back Brett Favre.
Who knows, man? Dave Bakhtiari's still a free agent. You know, he's still out there. Aaron's longtime left tackle. You know, I think he's still looking to play. But I just, man, it's kind of sad to watch because it's just.
Well, speak for yourself.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm speaking just from. Yeah, I am speaking for myself. Yeah, just from a friend's perspective.
From a friend's perspective. Sure, I get sure. that.
Yeah. And I think it's. Clearly, I think a lot of people are enjoying his downfall. And look, I mean, I know that he welcomes it. I know he welcomes it with some of the stuff that he says and does and some of the stuff that he's done in the past. I mean, he's not really the easiest guy to root for anymore.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.